And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre. So we have been following the ongoing saga of the Weymouth compressor. Other folks have been working on it for years, 6 years, in fact. We have been following it closely and have been putting up stories about it for a while. But over the last month or so, the situation at the Weymouth compressor has become very dynamic, fluid, have much bigger implications. So just to set everyone back on the same page, the Weymouth compressor is a facility being built in Weymouth, Massachusetts, which is a small seacoast town south of Boston, in the one of the denser areas of that town. A compressor station was essentially a factory building in order to, as the name goes, compress natural gas to give it enough pressure to continue on its journey from Pennsylvania up to Canada. That's been approved. It's in operation. But over the last few months, tables have begun to turn, and the people at FERC, so again, here's an acronym you need, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. It's a federal government body that in the past has been a rubber stamp for approving projects like this natural gas compressor. All of a sudden, FERC is having second thoughts. And in order to catch up with this maelstrom of events, we are thrilled to be able to talk to Alice Arena, who is, let me just say, a very important person at the FRRACS, the Four River Residents Against the Compressor Station. Alice, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on.
Thank you, Ted. Thanks for having me on again. It's good to see you.
So tell me, the story is so complex. How would you lay out the current status here in mid-March of the Weymouth compressor saga? I got to avoid my Boston accent. Compressor saga.
No, that's okay. We like that accent. So we got thrown, I'll just say, a very unexpected bone from FERC. So I'll do a really quick timeline on sort of how this happened. Back in September, on September 24th, FERC gave Enbridge the operator's certificate for this compressor station. So up until that point, they couldn't turn it on. On September 29th, Enbridge had their second accident at this facility that was not even running. They were doing commissioning activities. On October 1st, the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, also known as PHMSA, issued a corrective action order and stopped them from operating. On October 23rd, FRAX, that's us, filed a request for a rehearing on that operator certificate, saying that we felt that FERC had made a mistake given this, you know, accident scenarios and everything else. Mm-hmm. On November 23rd, FERC issued to us I'm going to call it a non-denial denial. It was a denial without basis. And they simply said, we're denying your rehearing request because we can. But then they said, they quoted another, you know, piece of their regulation that said, but we can revisit this if we feel like it, which put us in a very strange situation. We could have right then and there, we could have taken them to court. We could have said, nope, it's a denial. We're hauling your butts into court. The problem was we didn't have a basis to go to court because they didn't give us a basis for why they denied it. December 17th, the FERC met, the commissioners met their monthly meeting, and we were on the docket. But we weren't even sure it was us because they had the wrong names on there. We were like, wait, is this us? And Commissioner Chatterjee was able to table the discussion on this denial, rehearing, whatever, because Commissioner Clement had just been seated and Commissioner Christie had not yet been seated. And he said, there's very important issues surrounding this compressor station, and I'd like to have the full commission able to hear it.
The new people that were coming in.
Right. So on January 18th.
So forgive me. So when you say table, it means he delayed discussion of your request to rehear the September authorization to operate. He said, right. Oh, let's take another month. And okay, when we get everyone here, then we'll have a discussion. Okay, so we're now January. Yeah. Your great
now
timeline.
We're January. Okay. So January 18th, they met. And at that meeting, three out of the five commissioners. This is a double negative. They denied the denial. Okay. They said, okay, no, we're not going to deny this. But they didn't take the next step to say, we're going to give you a rehearing.
Okay.
They have two choices, deny or give us the rehearing. Now, we sent them a letter immediately saying, well, gee, thanks for doing that. But what you've done is given us a de facto tolling order. What a tolling order was is something that FERC used to pull on activists all the time. You'd put in a request for a rehearing. They wouldn't deny it, and they wouldn't give you the rehearing. They say, well, we want to think about this for a while, and that while could be years. And while they were thinking about it, you couldn't take them to court.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You had no legal remedy.
Right.
They had just lost a court case, the Allegheny court case, that said, you can't do that anymore. You have to either deny it or grant it. You've got to do it. And you've got only so many days.
Fish or cut bait, as they say, right?
You've got to do one of them. Exactly.
You've got to deny it or accept it. Okay.
That's it. So we said, you've issued a de facto tolling order because now you've rescinded the denial, but you haven't given us the rehearing. We had everybody pile on to the docket and comment, make noise. Our state delegation sent a letter. Senator Markey and Warren and Congressman Lynch sent a letter and said, you can't do this. You've got to do something. So February meeting on the 18th, they issued an order for briefing. Okay, now, this is not a rehearing. So it is a totally different duck than anyone was used to. And we're sitting there saying, okay, what do we do? So we're sort of following like the typical protocol of what would happen if they had issued a rehearing request. Except that they've never issued a rehearing request on an issue like this. So they've never done it before. And then in this case, this is a totally different animal and everyone's sitting there going, okay, we're not really sure what we're supposed to do, but they've given us these questions. And so we're going to answer the questions. We're going to file a brief answering the questions. And then those are due, well, they're technically due by April 4th, but that's a Sunday. So we're telling people April 2nd just to be safe.
Alex, just so to keep, I mean, you're saying that in February, the FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commissioners, ordered a rehearing request. No.
No, they didn't. They put out an order for briefing, but it's not, they're not calling it a rehearing request.
But it pertains to the original September authorization. So basically they're going back and actually thinking about that original September thing, which is the point of the whole exercise, right?
Right. So that's it. So they're going back and saying, okay, we issued this certificate, you know, FRACS asked for a rehearing on that saying, no, you did that wrong. And now they're saying, okay, we're not denying the rehearing request. We're not giving you the rehearing request. We're kind of doing something in between the two.
Really, really, really.
So those briefs are due, as I said, on April 4th. And then the reply briefs are due a month later, which would be, you know, technically May 4th. Now, once all of these briefs are done, we don't know. Then what? Does FERC go through them and see whose argument they agree with? Does that make them grant the rehearing request.
They're kind of in uncharted waters then, right?
I mean, totally. This,
just tell me if I'm, I think I'm correct in saying that FERC has, keep saying FERC, but it's basically five guys, right? I don't think it's any women,
Clements is a woman.
Okay. and they all of a sudden they're making decisions, and all of a sudden they are having second thoughts about a decision they made in September to allow the Weymouth compressor plant to begin operation. All of a sudden they're saying, we're thinking about it. They're not actually committing to anything, but they've opened up a window to have a discussion about whether or not they made a mistake. Is that fair?
Exactly. And so what they're asking in the questions, what mistake did we make? They're asking us, the big overarching question is, since we gave them this certificate, or since we actually gave them the original certificate back in 2017.
Since FERC gave the original certificate to Enbridge. Yeah.
Yeah. Back in 2017, what has changed? What has changed? And that's the real overarching question, because there's a ton of stuff that has changed. Then they're asking also very specifically about safety. What did they, quote, miss on safety? And the answer to that is crazy, because I can say to FERC, you didn't miss anything. You didn't bother to do anything. You didn't miss anything. You just ignored it.
You missed everything.
Right. You missed everything. So they're asking that. They also have included language about environmental justice communities. So, so one of the big things that, we can talk about this that has changed since any of the certificates have been issued, is public health. And because of COVID and environmental justice communities in particular being much harder hit, all of these things come into play.
So, all of the arguments that you've been making for years now are sort of coming into play. Right. The case you've made I've been on that bridge, and you look out and there's people living not so. It's really all quite cramped there. Those arguments. Now, I guess, if you were to get in an airplane and fly up to 30,000 feet, you say, oh, my God, this federal agency is now concerned about you. And how did that come about, and what are the it seems like that there's a marvelous article from Miriam Wasser that we'll put up from Earthwhile. I mean, basically saying, you step back and say, FERC has blinked, right? They issued a authorization to go ahead, and now because of the arguments your group's making, they're saying, well, wait a minute, maybe we need to but that is it not unusual for somebody like an organization like FERC, which is the federal government, to now go back and rescind, go back and question a decision they made a few months ago?
It's huge, and that's why the industry is losing their collective mind, because the considerations of the affected community. So whether it's us or it's a community in South Dakota, it doesn't make any difference. The concerns and considerations of the affected communities has never, ever been taken into consideration. They simply, anything that the industry wanted, I don't care if they wanted to put that compressor on top of your head, that's where it was going to go. And FERC has literally since its inception, it used to be a different agency, and then about 1977, it became FERC. And after the energy discussions with Dick Cheney, FERC went on complete steroids at that point. It was just a rubber stamp organization. They didn't care. They did not care. And
about the implications of their installation. So just, right. I mean, I'm correct in saying, correct me if I'm wrong, FERC is mostly concerned with basically hardware installations like pipelines, compressors, all that sort of facilities and infrastructure that you have to have for energy. That's what they, right, that's what right. they regulate, right? That's why they're the ones on top of the compressor station, because it's a big factory.
Right, exactly. So they... And also, I mean, just so you know, they permit wind farms, large wind farms, and they permit, solar arrays, and they permit anything to do with energy. That's mm-hmm, what they mm-hmm, do. Mm-hmm. But up until this point, everything they've done is having to do with oil and gas. That's, right. That's just what they've done because that's where we've been. And they've not ever taken that stop and said, okay, wait a minute. We need to be thinking more about wind and solar and, other forms of renewable energies and stepping away from fossil fuels. And I think like one of the major things that has changed is that President Biden has really said climate's the number one issue. And all of my departments, doesn't matter who you are, need to take climate into consideration. So that includes FERC. And we were shocked. I mean, shocked. We knew that once President Biden was inaugurated, we were going to start pushing him to appoint Commissioner Glick as the chair. So that he was inaugurated on the 20th. On the 21st, right, 8:30 in the morning, I like haven't even had a cup of coffee. And someone texts me and says, "Oh, Commissioner Glick." And I said, "Oh yeah, that's going to be a great idea. We're going to start sending letters." And they said, no, he's already appointed him." I went,
really?
"What?
Wow!"
I said, "I'm going to have to start getting up earlier. This is crazy." So Commissioner Glick has been very vocal about climate and about environmental justice. Very vocal. He's gotten in recently a little Twitter fight with Commissioner Danley.
Really?
And Mr. Danley is only concerned about the fossil fuel industry, right. Does not care one bit about anybody else. He's made that quite clear. And so he's saying to the industry, get on this docket, get on every docket, because you're going to get, Glick is going to do this or whatever. And Chairman Glick turned around and said, yeah, we are going to address this. Because of all of the people who have been, and this is what he said, screwed by the commission's decisions. Said that, and that was very recent. So we're looking to Chairman Glick to do the right thing and to push the envelope, not just for Weymouth. And here's a funny fact. Kathy Christofferson from M-Plan sent me this little thing the other day. She says, "Oh, I guess Enbridge is really upset." Enbridge intervened on a docket for a pipeline in South Dakota that they had nothing to do with. And the reason they intervened on it was because of Weymouth. And they literally put that in the intervening motion because Weymouth.
So to be clear, the intervening means that there's this, FERC is trying to make a decision, and the interveners are basically providing information to FERC to help make the decision. And so when they have this open question about, rehearing of the Weymouth compressor, everybody wants to get their oar in the water, right? Algonquin, Enbridge, I want to explain why the decision should go one way. And I'm presuming, I think Maura Healey, the Attorney General, is intervening. So there's now this bunches of interveners who are typically people who can maintain a cogent argument with the commission, right? I mean, it's someone like the Attorney General getting in there, or professional organizations submitting thoughtful answers and making the case. And so, but what you're saying is now Enbridge is running around to every other FERC case, docket case, as you say, you know, pipeline and stuff, and say, oh my God, you know, we got it, you know, we need to, Weymouth is making us worry about this. And presumably this will become another tool that environmentalists can use to oppose the hundreds of pipelines, right, and stuff around the country, right?
Yeah, and that's what they're worried about, because let's just say by some miracle, a miracle happens, and FERC says, you know what, you don't need that compressor in Weymouth. It does not need to operate. And quite frankly, with the facts and figures that we have, they don't need it. They've been operating just fine for 3 years. Remember, they wanted to be operating in November of 2017. And so for these last three or more years, no one has had a gas shortage. There's been no problems in Maine, no problems anywhere. So what if FERC did say, oh my gosh, and you've lost all these contracts and they don't need it in Canada and Maine doesn't need anymore and blah, blah.
And look at the harm it does.
Right. You don't need this compressor. You don't need it. And so therefore, we're not going to give you the operator's permit. Oh, boy, I am telling you, their world would come crashing down around their ears.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's, well, tell me this, so the circumstance now is that we basically, there's this great unknown. And it sounds as if FERC itself is trying to figure out what to do, right? They've opened up this discussion. No one's saying anything about shutting down the compressor plant, but I mean, that you could see that hiding in the mist out there, right? This idea that this, it, and the oil industry has flipped out, and people such as yourself are in there fighting a good fight to make the case to FERC. And I mean, I think, Alice, I think we need to put, I mean, we should put this down. What I will do is put up links to your website, to the various articles I've collected about this situation. People should know that that this is an ongoing thing. I think at the it's nocompressor.org. I'm sure there's a donation button there. People need to, because all this stuff takes money. I mean, it takes money. It just takes money to keep this stuff going, right? And so one way everybody can help out is to go to the nocompressor.org website, right?
Nocompressor.com. I'm just going to, yeah, right. .org was already taken. Nocompressor.com. And yes, and more than anything, just, you know, to educate yourself about this fight, but this fight is, it's the same fight that's being fought all over the country on pipelines and compressors and, you know, all of these things. And so, educate yourself.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. There's the industry sees it as a precedent, so we should too.
They do.
So that'll go up on, I'll put that stuff up on the blog. If, dear listener, if you have a comment or a question, please send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. You can listen to the, you're probably listening to the show on your smartphone. Please tell all your friends to listen to the show on their smartphone, because you can find us on almost all the modern podcast distribution apps. I want to thank our friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. I want to close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. And because of that stuff, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our future. So, Alice, thank you so much for coming to chat. I hope you can come back again soon. And good luck.
Thank you, Ted. Thanks for having me. And, yep, keep up the good fight.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
Very cool.